Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Right, how many points do you think they'll get?
One.
Right, well, I think it'll be none.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. My name is Hutch.
My name is James.
What did I say to you before we started recording?
It's going to be no fun in this.
No, it's just all going to be fun.
Oh, okay.
Only fun. Okay. Is there anything left but fun and laughter and joy, James?
Well, I don't know. Why don't you tell everybody?
I think there's very few people that have had a worse weekend than me. To be fair, Nico, Drake might be about least, just about it.
At least your team didn't lose.
There's basically
at least
Drake.
Your team didn't lose 5-0 as well.
And then there's me. And then there's everybody else in the world. A whole what? comedy weekend, James. I guess basically three reasons why. Firstly, I don't own Erling Haaland in any format. So that's basically the biggest kick in the nuts that you can get. It was going to happen at some point in the season where he went off big and you either had him or you didn't, right? So that was Saturday. I logged out of every fantasy game from then on. That was it. I was done. I was like, 2 weeks left to go. I will make my transfers and whatever else. But that was it. That was an absolute nail in the coffin, right? You miss Erling Haaland's four-goal haul, then you're done for.
And it was actually, for those who owned, it was actually worth something as well.
Yeah.
In terms of rise.
And also in a five-goal victory for Man City, I captained possibly, I wouldn't say this season their second best asset, but well up there in Kevin De Bruyne. Nothing. And then Sunday, you have mentioned that my football team decided to capitulate, but there's obviously so much going on behind the scenes that we now know about. So a 5-0 defeat. I didn't even get to watch it. Actually, I'm grateful I didn't get to watch it.
That's the good news.
Yes. And then yesterday in the afternoon, the club decided to announce they're going to part company with David Moyes.
But we knew this was going to happen.
We knew it was going to happen. That wasn't so much the issue. As I turned around to my wife, we were watching TV, and I said, "Dah." She's like, "Oh, did you not want him gone or what?" I was like, "It's not that, love. I know I'm going to have to talk about it tomorrow, aren't I?" And as much as I'm ready for David Moyes to leave, I don't know if necessarily I was ready to come in today and be like, "Okay, Moyes."
Nico, could you just get some tissues for Suj? Because it looks like he's going to need them.
I'm not sad. It was more just, obviously, it's going to be a topic of discussion, and also they're so at the moment in the rumours with Lopetegui that he's going to be the one coming
looks
in.
Looks like it.
I mean, if it's not, I'll be blown away, unless he's really using it as a bargaining chip for like Munich or whatever, because he's still in the talks for that. But
supposedly he's turned down Munich for West Ham. Yeah. Cool. I think that's probably not quite the case.
I don't think Munich have decided, have they? So, yeah, it was just an eventful weekend. I got 60 points, so... Let's have a look here. Let's have a look here, James. Oh, my whole bench. No, so I started the week benching all three Spurs. I have Vicario, Porro, and Son.
Yeah.
I benched all three of them.
Yeah.
Like 1 minute to deadline, I benched Son for Rasmus Højlund. I thought, look, do you know what? Sonny has been off it. Liverpool can be all right defensively. I'm going to bench Sonny. Let me go with Rasmus Højlund. You never know. He might go off big. Ended up needing both Sonny and Porro. because Bruno Fernandes was a no-show. Harry Maguire was a no-show. Oh. And now, in preparation for my bench boost, I've got to fix Cher and Maguire and probably Bruno Fernandes.
Rolled a transfer this week, though, right?
I did. Yep. Nothing from Edison. Nothing from Walker. Nothing from Porro. Ben White did all right for me. 6 points. De Bruyne, captain, fail.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we can laugh at the score this week. That's unlucky.
Yeah, 5 goals and nothing from him. Sonny, Gordon and Palmer all chipped in with little bits. Isak as well. And Nicholas Jackson with the 16-pointer came in.
At least you got that.
As well.
Blimey.
So, yeah, it's not like there was nothing there. It just was matched by one captaincy from...
I mean, in most weeks...
Erling Haaland.
60, when you're captain blanks, would generally be a pretty good score. The problem is...
Erling Haaland.
I mean, top 10K average was 100.
Wow. Yeah. Well, let's have a look and see what it does to my overall rank. Oh,
you don't want to know.
It's not as bad as I thought. I thought I'd be outside 1.5.
The first two digits 1.3. are unlucky for some, 13.
1.3. I thought it would be more than 1.5. Okay, I'm quite all right with that.
That's going to struggle to finish top mil now, isn't it?
Well, considering the whole point of bench boost is having, I'm going to have to take hits to fix my bench.
Not necessarily. It depends on Bruno's fitness, doesn't it? And we don't know where we're at.
Yeah.
The rest of your team's all right, actually, isn't it?
It's just
Maguire and Cher is now a well-known you've got to fix.
I just don't have the two best assets in the game in Haaland and Salah. So, I mean,
but you made a conscious decision to take
to go
on.
Against it. Yeah, it was bad enough as it was, so... is what it is. I just got to figure out what I'm going to do with bench boost this week. So Maguire and Cher, Dan Burn is an easy sideways move.
Don't know if you want to go another United player.
No, not after yesterday. I don't know where I'd go.
Any day, mate.
Cheap. I'm just not sure where I'd go if I'm looking at the bottom of the barrel, to be honest with you.
How many Arsenal players you got?
I only have the one.
Yeah, we'd probably just do that, mate.
Just go with a single game week player. Yeah.
It's going to be the barrels of desperation when people start asking about Johnny Evans' expected minutes for the double.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe don't do that.
Okay, so this is what's going to happen next week, James. Okay. You are going to draw with Man City. Man City are going to go... Right now, the goal difference is 6 from memory, I think. Is it 6?
What, between City and Arsenal?
Yeah.
City won't make up the goal difference.
Oh, yes, they will. City, you're going to go into the final day.
Should Arsenal play Man United on Sunday?
Listen to me. I'm telling you that this is exactly what's going to happen. Both teams are going to win at the weekend. Yep. And you're going to get a draw.
Okay.
And City, you're going to go into the final day of the season about 8 goals behind Arsenal on goal difference.
Yeah.
They're going to beat West Ham 14-0.
Yeah.
And make up the goal difference and win the title by 1 goal on goal difference.
Okay.
And if they need 15, they'll probably score 15 against West Ham at the moment.
It's not going to come down to goal. If it comes down to goal difference, Arsenal win it. End of story.
If it comes down to goal difference, I think City could probably beat us 20 if they needed to.
They won't.
This is how bad life is as a West Ham fan.
Okay, I'm sorry, babe.
Yeah, let's see. So,
by the way, there's also a problem with your flawed theory here of this goal difference affecting the title.
Why?
Like, I don't know which Tottenham you think is getting the point against.
No, you're
going to
do it.
Tuesday.
Come on, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. I have faith.
As FPL Rhino's good friend of the show tweeted on Sunday, and I saw it at halftime. He said, Would you even know the difference if Tottenham were trying to get a result against Man City or not? And I quote tweeted, I was like, no, you won't know. You won't know.
Cool. Did you make it to the 100 club?
Yeah, I smashed through the walls, mate.
Lovely jubbly.
115 for me.
Someone's got to.
Yeah, someone's got to. Game week rank of 50K. Search has take me up to the dizzy heights of
that's it
90
he's Kendrick this weekend
99k
mate.
Have a top flake 100K. Have a flake with that.
He is Kendrick and I am Drake. That is absolutely fucking what's happening here right
I
now.
I mean, look, done. When
I'm
I,
done out here
when I free hitted in game week 34, I was terming a 30k, and I said to you at that point, if I can finish this season with a 1 at the start, I'd be pretty happy with that.
Yeah,
so yeah, I've had 3 super game weeks there. The wild cards worked for me in terms of my picks. The same template 8 as many others. Yes, I benched Sonny this week, but obviously came in for Bruno Fernandes. Bench jam. Lots of people had that this week. But I suppose the difference for me as well is the defensive players coming through. It's a double Arsenal defence of Raya, Gabriel, Josko Vardiol, 6-pointer, Mark Cucurella, 5-pointer. Every player returned. Foden 5, Gordon 6, Son 7, Palmer 8, Isak 7, Jackson 16, Haaland captain 42. I can't think, Suj, that there's ever been, you and I have sat here and I've nearly doubled your score in a single game week. It's nearly double, mate. It's 55 point difference.
Yeah, but 42 of that is one player, Erling Haaland. And that's exactly it, right? I decided not to. It was a doubt coming into when we were wildcarding. Is he going to start? Is he not? And so is it worth the risk? Can we always come back to him later? And again, probably chips getting in the way of common sense kind of sort of thinking where you're worried about bench boost. Okay, I've got to spend my money a little bit here, spend money a little bit there.
Your rank, you were trying to do something different.
Yeah, of course.
It's not a criticism, mate.
No, no, I don't take it as that, but... when you go against Erling Haaland, that's you know what but can happen.
Most of this season, you would have been, to be honest, fine to go against him most of this season.
Yep. I wonder how many game weeks has he actually been the highest scoring player in the week? It won't be huge because he's missed half the season.
There hasn't been a huge
he?
Number of double digit hauls this season. Yep. That one, if you didn't own at the weekend, has obviously hurt. And like I said, it actually transpired partly because Cole Palmer's EO was over 100%. I don't know if that was a hangover of the double game week previously. He's obviously been really consistent. His home form's brilliant. But actually, Captain Haaland this week actually put a dent in things. Normally, you just go, oh, my captain scored. It doesn't matter. He actually put a dent in things this weekend. So it's worked out well for those, which is the majority, who went with him. I think for me, going into this week, I obviously am not bench boosting. So for me, I'm not suddenly looking like, oh, I'm going to push for 50K. That's impossible. That's me just clinging for the last couple of weeks now. But I'm pretty well set in terms of my 11 because I don't have the bench boost. So it's probably going to be roll through one transfer for me this week. I've obviously got the 2-3s and I might be looking at doing something that's way off agenda, like share to Richards just to put money in the bank for game week 38 because... I'm pretty happy with the 11. I think if I was to piss about the 11, the only thing I could see me doing is like Onana to Petrovic and Cucurella to Burn. It doesn't feel worth the two transfers
when I can
put a bit of money in towards game week 38. Definitely get me another Arsenal player for 38 and maybe a Liverpool player as well. Or even a Tottenham player.
That doesn't make sense to do that, Onana, Petrovic.
No, so Burn. I think for me... It's share to something like that, Richards, Ted and Mengi, just a playing last defender, just in case rotation
third
hits
on the bench.
Bad in game week 38. They both got home fixtures as well, so if it did come to it and they were needed, just open up the ideas of money possibility. I probably wouldn't need it, but I don't really see what else they're doing. I mean, at the moment, I'm bust with Bruno Fernandes on the bench. And that even if he is past fit, we don't know the status at the moment, that's probably still the play I'm benching this week.
And he's got a double.
But
so
there's no point me selling Fernandes to like an enabling midfielder because it's going to be Fernandes is going to go into like the Arsenal player probably. So it might as well just stay there. Whatever I drag him down to, I'm just dragging him back up. So it might as well be that he stays and I drag down the money defensively, I think.
Fair play. A couple of bits before we get into the games. Liverpool, how was your day trip?
All right, yeah. Coach, love it.
Away days. Yeah. I'd like to hear about your away days.
Away days will be available for advanced tier patrons today, yeah.
What's the atmosphere like up at Anfield? I know you've been critical of it before. Not critical, but also maybe... It's not what people make it out to be, is how you describe it.
No, people would say, and I'd not been there for a long time, actually, but people say very much it's like pre-game, it's great, and then you never walk alone, then that's kind of it. Actually, the atmosphere was pretty good.
I guess it helps that they...
The way the game's going, and I guess playing against Mike Arcrash, who's really open and something, does help. It was nowhere near as good as the atmosphere at St James's, I would say that.
Right, okay.
Nowhere near as good. But it was good. Also remember, it was kind of a nothing game for Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it was decent atmosphere.
Nice. And we have a new addition to the Premier League for next season.
Yes.
It was nearly there, confirmed. I actually met up with a bunch of my friends from uni who I hadn't seen for a little while. And one of them is an Ipswich Town fan. just on rank. So we watched the game in the background, I would say, more than anything else. But Ipswich joining the Premier League.
Yeah, along with obviously Leicester did it last week. Obviously.
Yeah, we've already got the fan view with Aaron. I had a good listen to that. It was enjoyable.
And there'll be something coming up very... It won't be this week, unfortunately, because the schedule's too tight with a four-day week. But yeah, something very soon with our new Ipswich correspondent, FPL Tractor.
Indeed.
Joining me for a chat. That's a remarkable to jump.
It's two back-to-back promotions, isn't it? It's unbelievable.
There's teams who've done it before.
Yep.
But I think to do it with the strength of the three teams that got relegated from the Premier League last year and mm-hmm. others in there like West Brom, Norwich, etc., still got their parachute payments and stuff, like that is an unbelievable achievement.
Yep.
Congrats to them.
It's going to be a competitive playoffs as well.
They will unfortunately find it mad difficult to stay up.
Yeah, I mean, my friend Michael, I spoke to, his view was, look, let's come, have some fun, take those parachute payments and run. And that was it.
Well,
literally, with no expectation,
well,
keep the money.
A lot of people know, obviously, from Forest point deduction, part of that was their FFP was adjusted to...
Because of time in the championship.
Yeah, whips, which is what, from League One, isn't it?
So yeah, that's very true.
Not going to be able to come up and go wild. And
we already know Leicester are in trouble coming up.
But they'll play some good stuff.
Yeah. Be enjoyable. But well done to all our Ipswich Town fans.
It's only an hour on a train from Stratford.
Okay, fair play.
Lovely.
Ready to go to Portman Road.
Some of
James.
These shitholes up in the north that I can never get to.
All I can say is I wish I could do Katie's voice, but can't you watch it on TV?
Oh, yeah.
Is it not on a telly?
To be fair. I can't even blame her. But you know what? She's, because we've been so shit recently, she's not even doing it. She wouldn't, I ain't seen her watch it on the TV. She's not even digging me out. And she's like, you're right. I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah.
Okay. Good, good, good.
Getting smashed, we'll talk about it. Getting smashed at Liverpool is not a disgrace.
No, it can happen.
Most people do.
Good, good. Let's go through some of the games, James, and what is kind of sort of relevant with the double game week coming up. There's not too many teams that people will be targeting other than those. And then we get on to game week 38. Friday night, Luton 1, Everton 1.
Well, you can still very much keep Everton in mind, Suj.
Yep.
That's not the home to Sheffield United this weekend. It's not the worst solution to your problem. I would much rather, I think, people went and bought Jared Branthwaite than Johnny Evans, for example, this week.
Yep.
Genuinely. So that's an option for you. And he's returned here.
Yep.
An assist for penalty, which... Okay, he's being held. Yeah, I don't think there's much doubt about that.
He's been wrestled to the ground, James.
You've got to credit Branthwaite as well, though, because actually there's not enough to make him go down.
Probably and not, he drags it down.
Well, no, he has to.
Yeah,
he has
to
get
the attention.
To get the decision.
Yeah, I get
that. I'm not being critical of him. He has to do it.
Yeah. It's 100% a penalty. We've seen it so many times. That's the frustration that people have. It's like it happens every game, multiple times a game, and doesn't get called. And this time it did, though.
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed in Luton, actually. The game had spells, particularly in the first half, of it flip. It really did flip-flop. It felt like 10 minutes of Luton, 10 minutes of Everton, 10 minutes of Luton, 10 minutes of Everton. That's how the first half felt. Everton really didn't play well in the second half, and Luton, for me, really didn't throw enough at it to really put the pressure on Everton, and I think it was there for the taking. And then it came inevitably in like injury time with a couple of efforts off the line and stuff, but I felt it should have come a bit earlier for them. I don't know if they certainly realised the importance of what was going on. I suppose they were caught in a place of couldn't lose, but then it became, you know, at the end of the day, they're putting the goalkeeper up for a corner at 1-1, so they obviously were desperate. I was a bit disappointed in them, actually. And I think it's worth saying that the Moyes news is not, I don't think, good news for them at the weekend, because I think you would have got, I don't want to say mutiny, but you would have got a very low-key atmosphere at West Ham at the weekend where people would have gone unhappy, whereas it's like, okay, fine.
It's just going to be a happy send-off and we all shake hands and everybody's happily
after.
No
one's going to be angry or, you know, get out of the club or whatever.
No.
It's just, okay, thank you very much. Go and hopefully it ends in a nice home win. That's not helpful for Luton at the weekend either. I don't suppose you'll be looking at any Luton assets. They were certainly benefited by Adebayo being back. Gives them certainly an extra layer of threat up front. I thought Tahith Chong played really well. Everton, you can still look at in terms of solutions here. Pickford, Branthwaite, Tarkowski. I mean, at the moment, the money doesn't matter, does it?
No.
If you've got Cher, do I go Tarkowski or Branthwaite? It's probably more about which one do you want and just check that you're not cutting yourself off to value for game week 38. Obviously, if you're not sure, then just go for Branthwaite on the safe side. But I don't mind you going Tarkowski if people want to. It's honestly, Suj, they've got the best home fixture this weekend. They've kept four consecutive clean sheets at home.
Yep. Four home clean sheets.
Actually, listen, as we've said several times, Sheffield United have started scoring goals.
They scored again
recently,
at the weekend.
And they may well do it at the weekend, but that's as likely as anyone.
Yeah, I agree with you.
This weekend. Mm. And don't overlook that necessarily for I must get the double. It's like, oh, which Tottenham defender? Okay, listen, Tottenham's first fixture and double's good. There won't be a clean sheet in the second one. That's a certainty, right? So when you lay it down, or even look at Manchester United, like I said about the Johnny Evans, right? Everton at home with Sheffield United, or Manchester United against Arsenal and Newcastle. I think Everton are more likely to keep a clean sheet this week than Manchester United.
Yeah, I think that's so too. Luton now 3 points behind Forest. So
it's effective. Forest win one game, it's over now.
Yeah, I would say so. But also, look, Luton play first. So if Luton do beat West Ham, go same level on points. And then Forest are playing in the 5:30 against Chelsea.
Yeah,
so
banging form, Chelsea.
So then it will come down to the last day of the season. Both have got winnable games. Luton have got Fulham. Forest have got Burnley.
Burnley 4 points adrift.
Yeah.
So it's 3 points
Burnley
to Luton,
have got a gap now.
To Burnley.
Mm, yeah.
Well, Burnley have got to win both the games, haven't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I think if Luton lose to West Ham, they'll be done. I can't see them.
Burnley have got to win both to have a chance. Yep. And Luton realistically have got to get 4 points minimum, and that would be Forest losing twice, wouldn't it? Mm. So Luton have probably got to win twice as well.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't see Forest going down at this stage, really.
Yeah,
you know,
me
I don't know if you could trust Burnley and Luton to win both their games.
No.
Irrespective of what Forest do.
Look, yeah, and this game against Everton is a classic example where Luton needed to get the job done. Talking of teams, you mentioned Everton that have a great single game week fixture. Segue, Arsenal, because they're playing Manchester United. Arsenal 3, Bournemouth 0. Business as usual.
Yeah, I didn't watch the game because it's not good for my sanity. I won't be watching the game at Old Trafford on Sunday, although I've got a better excuse Sunday because I'll be at the Women's Cup final at Wembley. Wanting Manchester United to lose, and then immediately afterwards wanting Manchester United's men's team to actually get a result. But I do note that some of the statistics in the first half were pretty wild. I think Arsenal had 11 shots in the box in the first 20 minutes, which is just pretty wild. A lot of them were blocked, in fairness. But yeah, there was a disparity between the two teams, which is understandable. So, you know, Bournemouth can have a moan about the disallowed goal or the penalty. I don't think either of those two situations have impacted the result massively.
25 shots in total. Five big chances and they missed four of them, Arsenal. Yeah.
In the case of the penalty,
3.38
you're never going to get that overturned because there is contact. So that's simple as. And on the rare one, Dominic Solanke quite clearly is not trying to play the ball. So I know there's others go, well, what if my goalkeeper don't get protection? There is a little bit of inconsistency in it at the moment. But yeah, Solanke's just edging him out of the way, isn't it?
Yep.
Whereas Reyes just got eyes on the ball. It was a similar one in the Palace United game last night as well. It's a foul as far as I'm concerned. Bournemouth had a great season. You're probably not looking at their assets now. It's a decent fixture. I think they've got Brentford at the weekend. But it's Chelsea final day away as well. So I think, you know, those who have still had Solanke will be looking at, say, Jackson's performance over the last two game weeks and knowing it's another double and going, maybe want to move that. So that'll be considered. Those who've been holding Zubanyi or Senesi, if they still have that, it's not terrible this week. Like, there's worse things you can do. Maybe taking a -4 to remove one of them for another shit defensive player is possibly not the solution if you're
I wouldn't take a hit to get rid of either of them. I mean, Brentford have just blanked.
And Arsenal offer great solutions defensively. If Manchester United field the team against Arsenal that they fielded against Crystal Palace at the weekend, it's not even a contest. The only debate about the score will be how many do Arsenal want it to be. Arsenal might go there and be content with 2-0. And just, right, that's fine.
And they have done that this season, where they let the opposition have the ball and it's not a problem for them.
Yeah, they changed the way they're playing based on game state. We know that. But they might go there and go bollocks 4-5, particularly if, say, City rattled in. I don't know, just hypothetically, if City did win 5 or 6-0 on Saturday, might shift. Oh, just in case, maybe
open the gap a little.
So I can't see Arsenal having any problems. The only thing that's going to change that for Manchester United on Sunday is if suddenly they've got a load of players back available. Suddenly you're putting like
defensive players,
Martinez,
and stuff,
Shaw, yeah. Fernandes back in that team. It's going to be a little bit different. But what are Arsenal going to do looking at Casemiro and Evans, please? No, it's kind of funny, but it's not funny.
It's not funny for me.
It's not funny for Manchester United fans okay. either. I think at this stage, like, I mean, it's such short. It's two games. You pick your poison between Gabriel, Saliba and White. I'd be a bit conscious about going Tomiyasu.
Mm-hmm.
Just purely because I think I'm pretty sure he'll play at Manchester United. But if there was a situation whereby the title didn't look like it was winnable on the final day, or even if it was won, you might find that they'll play Timber in game week 38, for example, to give him some minutes.
He played for the under-21s, didn't he? And
yeah, he was very close to the squad at the weekend. So yep. I wouldn't go Tomiyasu. Raya, it's fine. The only thing I would say with Raya, again, if there was a circumstance where it's done for whatever reason, could they play Ramsdale as a bit of a send-off final day? You've got to start questioning these things a little bit outside the box. Well, could they do that? If there was a situation where the title was genuinely decided and it looks fairly certain Aaron Ramsdale will leave Arsenal this year, could Aaron Ramsdale play final day? Yeah, that's a possibility, for example.
Yeah, I can see that.
With White, Gabriel, Saliba, I can't envisage any problems. I think Arsenal offensive will be great differentials this week.
Yeah, for sure.
Saka's, Havertz.
Havertz. Even Oligard. Trossard's.
Trossard is playing all the games he at the is. Moment, and he's consistent as, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is. I think he's the one that goes under the radar. And again, Mr. Odegaard is consistent as hell as well.
But again, whatever you presumably get, unless you're like free hitting in 38, if you were to go, well, that's my replacement for Fernandes, and I don't hate that, by the way, like if Fernandes is ruled out, you want it for 38 as well.
Yeah.
Is Trossard going to play in like 10 days?
If you've got the money, Saka's always the safe bet. And we've seen again, because of the penalties, that's another tick in the box for him, and he's got one here at the weekend. So, yeah. But any which one, whatever one you pick, it's going to be the other one
Saka
that gets the points.
Saka or Havertz. Yeah. I think one or the other. Saka's ended up with the bigger return this weekend. But that easily could have been the other way around by the looks of things.
The Battle of West London, James. Brentford, Fulham. Sorry, Chelsea.
Sorry, QPR.
Yeah. Ended up, what's this? The Battle of the Beach. 0-0.
Yeah, maybe,
Both teams got nothing to play for. And you've got Bournemouth, Brentford, Fulham all here. What's left?
Gary
now?
Lineker rather summed it up quite well on Match of the Day, didn't he? He said, we've put the Friday night game ahead of it. It's kind of, whoa, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, reasonable draw for both teams. Doesn't look like it was particularly a thriller. Fulham assets are going to be of no interest because of the Manchester City game. Well, the higher XG probably comes from the big Raul Jimenez mischance, which he should score. I think Jimenez only played about 65 minutes or so this week. Those who might still have him, if you're not bench boosting, you're obviously happy to bench that this week. If you are bench boosting, that's kind of the one I mentioned a few weeks ago. You're going to start, can I force it into like João Pedro or up more to Jackson, for example? So I can see moves like that, like if Fernandes is ruled out, Fernandes down to Richarlison now as an example, and then Muniz up to Jackson, João Pedro. Yeah, I can see that sort of move. Brentford, what did they have this week? And Bournemouth away, isn't it, Suj?
Then
Newcastle at home, final day. I wouldn't be surprised if like Bumo does really well over those couple of games, for example. Reality, you're not looking. What's his 10 games without a goal now for Tony? Which obviously includes a period of an injury in the middle of that. But it's a long time now, isn't it?
Yeah, he came back with a bang and then kind of just completely gone off the boil, really.
He'd be staggered. If I'd said to you, when those first couple of games have come back, I said, oh, Tony will go 10 games without scoring. In fact,
yeah,
at any
he
point...
he came back with
gone,
a,
no, no
a real
way.
Fizz, but yeah. I'm not looking at either of these two teams.
No, I don't think you would be. Those who, again, there'll be a small cluster of people who have like your Regions or Fleckens. Again, if you've got them, rather than thumping like minus fours to remove them, if you're bench boosting this way, probably wouldn't
bother.
Yeah,
defensively, defensive hits, not worth it. Let's talk about Burnley then.
Where do you even go, man?
Like, this is the problem.
It's like City and Arsenal were the two that you could trust the most at the moment, I think. And yeah, look, if you've got Reguilón and can go like a -4 to say Vardiol, like I get it. But otherwise, -4s for Evans and -4 for Porros and who's going to play left back for Tottenham? So forget this shit.
Yeah.
Like, Reguilón would be fun.
Burnley 1, Newcastle 4. This away record thing for Newcastle where they tried to improve it, somewhat, it slowly and surely. Started with the front two.
Yeah, I mean, essentially
and Wilson.
4-4-2, although many would maybe even deem it a 4-2-4, actually.
Yeah.
Would have emptied out the midfield a little bit and left Gimenez and Longstaff in there. Played a flatter back four and let the front four go and
do their thing.
Cause riot, yeah. And they have done. I mean, the only thing I would add to this, as Newcastle are obviously going to be of interest this week, and I think a few people, when they saw the team, were probably thinking, I'm going to go Jackson to Wilson next week, you know, to put the two of them up front together. Then Jackson's done his thing on Sunday and has all probably stepped off.
Yeah, he's done his thing against a rubbish team, though.
The caution would be as well, they've decided to do this against Burnley.
Yep.
And we've spoke last week about Burnley giving away the ball in high areas, so they've probably gone with a really high press with the front four and given up a little bit in the midfield area. Don't have to want to do that against Brighton, because the one thing you do know about Brighton, and those who watch the game Sunday will have seen it again, like, they can manipulate you when they play well. It can become like a real challenge. So I could see Wilson and Isak playing together at Manchester United, maybe, because Manchester United are so wank on the ball. But I'm not sure if they'll both start like that against Brighton. Or if they do, maybe the more notable note on it might be that Isak plays a deeper role. Rather than right with him, he's really kind of dropping off short to give them the extra man, perhaps particularly in build-up.
What's Isak's ownership now? It's going to be high.
Yeah, I mean, 40%. I think those that decide to take on Haaland with the captaincy this week will probably go Isak.
Yeah, he's my captain this week. He's definitely going to be my captain.
So it's clear for you as a non-Haaland owner.
Yeah, and I he's already punched me in the face, Haaland. I don't think I'm going to go back to try and cover it off now. I'm 2 game weeks away from the end of the season. Absolutely not worth it.
The thing is, for those who are debating captaincy this week, what's happened there at the weekend is now will make people scared of City having a double. And do you want to take that on? Like, if people want to do it, do it. You know what the risk is. It's the same as those who took it on last week, right?
I've got two attacking Newcastle in Isak and Gordon, like you. And also, we've both got Cher. Would you rather then, in this situation, add another attacking Newcastle rather than defensive? Because there are options, potentially. You've talked about Wilson there. If you were getting rid of Cher, you wouldn't go sideways to a Dan Burn or what have you. Would you rather then try and find a way to squeeze in another attacker?
I think, you know, I spoke about that one. We say Fernandes down and then Muniz up. Could you consider Wilson if you're only on two Newcastle? Yes. All I'd say on it is don't expect the minutes. Like, it might just drop back down to two substitute appearances. But that said, he's shown very, very often that he can return
still
from that situation. But at the moment, you'd have to look at it and think there's no reason why Nicholas Jackson wouldn't play twice for Chelsea and they're in good form. Why do you need to
force
like
it?
I said, like, those who saw it, because it went through my head on Saturday, oh, I wonder if you could flip this Jackson to Wilson, that could be quite cute. It's not really a need, is there?
No.
And I think if you're buying one now, it would be Jackson for 37, good fixture 38 as well. So, yes, you would rather have, but that goes for most of the teams with the doubles, so you'd rather have the extra offensive
player than the defensive player. Yeah.
Than the defensive. Harvey Barnes, you can't go near at the moment. Gordon and Isak is absolutely reasonable and is in the majority of teams. You're not going to go Murphy. Gimenez, ironically, would be kind of a good one for a double game week. You're not going to go down that route.
Yeah, maybe.
So if you want a third, it's defensive. Kieran Trippier, we think, might be back for this Brighton game. But unless Eddie Howe specifically says on Friday, and let's be honest, it's Eddie Howe, so he's not, Kieran Trippier is going to start tomorrow. I don't think you can take that risk. I don't think.
No. Joel Linton, come on. Fruity?
It's the same thing. It's It's fruity. One good benefit for Newcastle, and it's a, this is worth mentioning, for Newcastle and Chelsea, and for Brighton as well, obviously they've got four-day spacing. So it's Saturday, Wednesday, Sunday, whereas Tottenham and the two Manchester clubs don't have that spacing for 37 in quite the same way. It's three-day turnaround. So the spacing largely for the teams is pretty good. It's okay for Newcastle, but you know, is Joel Linton going to come back and give you the minutes you want in a double?
Yeah, possibly not. No, I just think there's two clear standout players there in Isak and Gordon. So really, it's just the decision of the third if you want.
Yeah, people do want that. So I look at Onana this week and think, if I knew he was going to play in goal for Newcastle, I'd have it. But we're in limbo now with Pope.
Yep.
So he's back. He's available. He's how going to give him the games to try and prove his fitness for the Euros and maybe get him in the squad, which...
He'd probably go anyway.
No, I don't think he would have, but the fact Sam Johnson got injured, it's available, yeah.
I think he probably would have. You know what, Gareth
likes
to get
the games, or does Dubravka, because he hasn't done a huge amount wrong recently, does he stay in? Like, I can't take that route, again, unless Eddie Howe says, Pope's going to play tomorrow. That would maybe interest me if that happens. Can't go to Dubravka. People want to know which defensive one, because the Trippier impact has an impact on two players specifically. So Livramento and Lewis Holt obviously played as the fullbacks at the weekend. Now Livramento we know can play both sides, but a Trippier return wouldn't necessarily mean that Livramento goes to left back and Lewis Holt didn't play. It might be that Lewis Holt would stay in the team. I think he's done okay recently. So I wouldn't want to go with either of them. So by default, just go for Dan Burn. Is my take. Emil Kraft will probably keep playing at centre-back, but don't do that would be my advice. Just go for Burn. Those full-backs at Newcastle, I don't think are huge offensive threats anyway. Just go with Burn. I think there's a small group of people, Suj, who can't get there financially and want to know which one of Livramento or Hall. If I had to, I'd probably gamble Livramento, but I wouldn't be keen on going either.
No. But, I mean, I would almost rather... what price is Branthwaite now? Would he be affordable?
4-5-ish, I think.
So or even Richards, not. Like you're saying. Just do something like that.
You're not going to want to buy Richards this week.
No. Just trying to think, who's the cheapest possible... I mean, what price is Ashley Young? Is he worth it?
That's a barrel scrape, Sige.
It is, but I'm just thinking, I mean, if he's going to play for Everton and they've got an all right fixture and you've got no money.
I think he's similar price to Branthwaite.
Oh, then you wouldn't bother. I thought if he was down closer to 4 million. No.
Burnley, you're obviously not going to look at. They had said earlier they've got to win at Tottenham now on Saturday, which means.
Plays into your hands. Well, they would have had a lot of the ball anyway, but.
Could be fun. Let me just leave it that. It could be fun. They are not incapable of beating my team, let me tell you that.
Two teams also that I don't have any interest in, I don't think you will either. Sheffield United and Nottingham Forest. 3-1 away win for Forest. They'll be happy with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Particularly when in the first half, Surge really could have been behind because Sheffield United had some good chances and again showed that there's a little bit about them offensively now. They've
2.27 XG.
Yeah. Yeah. Archer and Brereton Diaz have a nice little relationship up front. I think the system is allowing Gustavo Hammer to get closer to them. They've been better for having the young boy Oliver Arblaster in the team who's holding it together. He was actually captain at Old Trafford the other week, despite only just coming into the team. But as soon as they find themselves behind,
house of cards.
I mean, we sat here 2 weeks ago, Surgeon was like, well, will they get to 100 goals conceded?
Done it.
And we were like, well, two a game. Yeah, they probably will. Right, well, there's two to go and they've already hit it, haven't they?
Yeah.
So
minus 65 goal difference now.
And there is a circumstance here as well. Although it's unlikely, there is a circumstance where Tottenham might be going for goals against them on the final day as well. Which means Sheffield United will probably beat us like 8-5.
Is that the most goals conceded in a 38-game season?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. As far as I'm aware, it's the first team to do it in a 38-game season. Swindon Town was a 42-game season back in 93-94.
Yeah, they've already broken the record. It was 97. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, so I've got no interest in either of the teams. You?
No, the only thing with Forest is...
last day of the season, if they have to beat Burnley, you'd back them to do that, wouldn't you? Particularly if Burnley are down.
There is a scenario where Forest will need the points and Burnley might be gone. That is a
There's also
scenario.
A scenario where Burnley can beat Forest to stay up.
Yes. Yes.
So it could work either way.
There is. I think Awoniyi is close to fitness, and those who have been on Wood, and I've seen a few. Are you on Chris Wood?
No.
I've seen him knocking about in a few teams. He's obviously not got anything for you at the weekend. I don't think he's gotten an assist.
He didn't. No, it was...
Hudson-Odoi has obviously got a couple of goals. He's actually returned better, I think, than he did in any season for Chelsea, now I want to say. Scored a couple of really good goals. He always kind of felt a bit all action. Plenty of non-following through at the end, basically. I wanted all fart, no poo.
Yeah, I was just waiting for you to correct yourself.
I just couldn't think of it, Suj. I couldn't think of it. That's flip-flopped where, you know, Elanga was of a real interest a few weeks ago. And we weren't
now
you'd talking
definitely
about
be Hudson-Odoi, wouldn't it?
I mean, his second goal beautifully sums up Sheffield United in the sense he has a chance a few minutes earlier that's an exact replica and he hits the post. And then they let him do exactly the same thing again, and this time he wraps it into the corner. Although Sheffield United have shown plenty of heart and fight recently, they are still very poor defensively. Yes, there is the offensive element if you're interested in Everton players this week. I think for Forest, because of Chelsea's form, I don't really see you buying this week. But if you want to make a transfer, say like for me, Suj, who's saying, right, downgrade share to something that I might use in 38. Could I like Murillo or something? But I'd look at what I've got and I think, you ain't starting for me, so what's the point? I might as well just come right down
all
and
the way
open
down
up as much money for me just in case I need it. So, no, I can't see me being interested. If I was to be interested in Forest final day, then I think it's more like something like Wild, like Hudson-Odoi.
Cool, let's talk about Man City 5, Wolverhampton Wanderers 1. Thank you, Man City, for letting in that consolation goal, as they always do, because I didn't have any defensive. So I don't mind that.
Okay, well, if you can't on Josh Guardiola, it don't matter too much, boss, at the moment.
He's really delivering the goods at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, I've been saying to people, you know, it's a regular theme again on my deadline stream, at the weekend, it's like, which City defender do I buy? It's like, well, what do you want? Right? You want to get a City player in, and you probably do want it to play every week for you from now till the end of the season. You want the guaranteed minutes, you buy Kyle Walker. There's nothing wrong with that if that's what matters to you most. If you want to chase the guy that's most likely to get you the haul, get Josko Gvardiol.
His heat map is crazy. I'm looking at it in front of me now. He's left midfield / left wing.
He's left wing, basically. Yeah. But this is what I'd said to you after Walker had the haul at Brighton. You need to consider that as a one-off, as a specific for Brighton. Bless you, Suj. And that this guy, and the thing of that is as well, like it means, Foden's off the left. Right, well, Foden's not off the left. Foden's moving from the left to go and play at the 10.
More central,
you look at Foden's positioning, even though he started on the left, it's all central, mate. It's not a problem. So you're allowing him to get into the areas he wants. And it also still allows Kevin De Bruyne and Phil Foden to both play in the same team. So I think, largely, this will continue for Vardiol. And I imagine it will probably continue at the back for the likes of Aki and Akanji as well. Like, those who've got Ruben Diaz are in a real, real horrible dilemma here. I think flip it to Vardiol if you can.
Yeah, if I owned Ruben Diaz, I wouldn't be keeping him. But then why...
He could just come back in, though,
really
couldn't he?
Got that much ownership.
He could just come back in. There'll definitely be a pool of people who've got him, Suj. Definitely.
I'm going to have a look now. I want to see his ownership because it's just never really appealed.
It'll be low overall, Suj. It'll be like 4% or 5% or something like that. It'll be low. And it will be for a lot of the City guys individually. There's a bit of a split amongst them, right? There will be some
7.3,
people,
James.
There will be some people listening who have got Ruben Diaz. And I think, yeah, if you have the luxury to flip it, flip it.
I think 7.3% ownership, at least 6 of that is dead.
Yeah.
So the other one that I think, if they...
Cole Walker owners just stick, obviously.
If they didn't have... obviously, they've really got to win the next few games. if they were a little bit clear in the title race, I'd love a Rico Lewis punt for a double game week right at the end of the season. But I just don't see him getting the minutes.
Rico Lewis might come back around in game week 38 if the title is done. Over.
He feels to me like a really good cheap end of season punt, but not while they've got something still to play for.
I think how they played on Saturday will be close to their team for the rest of the season, with Kovacic playing alongside Rodri.
Yep.
And by the way, if some reason you are sitting on only two City and, I can't get to De Bruyne, I don't want any of the defensive guys, or perhaps you've got defence you don't want to move, you'll do worse than by Rodri.
He's had a great season.
Rodri will return in the double.
Yeah, he's had a great season. Cool. Let's anything from Wolves? Season's petering out now, isn't it?
Didn't defend Erling Haaland as well as it did previously because Craig Dawson wasn't available. Max Kilman does not have the physicality or the experience to do that sort of thing, unfortunately. And to be fair to Haaland, actually, right from the start of the game, he looked like he was,
mood.
Yeah, you had that vibe really early on. Actually, when he dropped short, you know, sometimes he looks so awkward. When he dropped short a couple of times, his link actually looked all right and stuff. And then he was spinning and moving quickly. I think part of it as well is that Doku wasn't playing. I keep saying this. I think he loses his mind when Doku plays. So he knows with the likes of Foden, De Bruyne and Bernardo Silva.
Yeah.
And obviously Rodri's assisted the goal. It was a poor leap, wasn't it? You've seen the photo where his knees are at the same height as, I think it was Semedo.
No.
He went to check his knees are the same size as Semedo's head. Semedo's, how tall's Nelson Semedo, Nico? 6 foot?
He's probably 6 foot.
No? Everyone looks tall to me, don't they? But even still, knee at head height, wow. Yeah. That was him being what he can be. Helped by two penalties. By the way, I must say, that first one is never a penalty. On Ray and Aitnori, it's never a penalty. I think the Wolves' takeaway from this will be there are a few people who have Ray and Aitnori going into this week and bench boosting with him at home to Palace. That's fine. He will almost definitely play wing back. He's obviously played right wing back against Man City. You might be lucky where he moves back to left wing back against Palace. That's fine as a single game week player to have as a bench boost this week. Don't think you'd be looking at Wolves otherwise. What's more of interest, I think, to take away from Wolves from the weekend is that they can be done here quite badly without Dawson and obviously go to Liverpool final day. Yep. And part of me going, right, I'm just going to go to a 3.9 defender is having in mind, might I'll be able to work Mo back in for 38.
Let's talk about the Sunday games, James. Brighton 1, Aston Villa 0. I was surprised by this as a result.
Well, the most surprising statistic I think of the weekend is Aston Villa's XG in that football match. Which Suj doesn't know. You can tell by the way he's gone to click the buttons.
Yeah, I'm going to go and have a look at what it is exactly.
Okay. This was,
let's have a look.
Brighton being very good. Go on, Suj, tell everyone.
0.05.
That's madness, isn't it?
Off two shots.
Yeah.
47% possession.
Now,
zero big chances created. Therefore, obviously, zero big chances to score. Whereas the opposition, six.
Watched the first half of this on the coach heading up to Anfield. I didn't see the rest of it. But I think on what I saw, I didn't watch a great game of football. I watched two sides that I think were very conscious of the counter-punching ability of the other. Brighton were shading the ball, as I think you would imagine that they would. Shoving very much into a back three in system with Webster back in the team. Veltman pushing up from the right-hand side, allowing Buonanotti to go central and Adingra holding the touchline on the left. You might get more of that in forthcoming games. Disappointing result for Villa off the back of obviously the disappointing result against Olympiacos on the Thursday night. Brighton, assets for the double. So, João Pedro might offer a pathway. We've said this for those who are struggling for money and have a Chris Wood or a Muniz that they want to move on. Perfectly understandable. I think if you've got Mateta, just stick with it, by the way. Would probably be my case. It's just the form's
good enough at the moment.
Yeah. Pascal Gross would be great for the double, but I don't think most people need to make that sort of change. But for people selling Bruno Fernandes, could they do worse than Pascal Gross in a double? Yeah, they can definitely do worse. There's a couple defensively, Suj, who it might have just fallen into place at the right time. One, they've obviously been in bad form, but they've defended so well here, and it's not that Villa don't have good attacking players, right? We should maybe take note of that. Someone like Igor Julio.
What price is he?
He's 4.3.
Okay.
Does maintain a little bit of a threat from set plays. Might suddenly be an interesting one. That said, it's Newcastle away and Chelsea at home, and the two teams are in very good form, and it doesn't look great. But if Brighton have got themselves in a position where they feel better confidence-wise after that game, and the team, I feel like it might stick a little bit more. Like with Van Hek's injury, I'd be surprised if Julio doesn't play these remaining games. So that might be one that offers a solution. But you've got to remember, if you're going in for that, like, would I take a minus four? Oh, I've got Maguire injured, Cher injured. Take a minus four for Igor Julio. I don't know, man.
No, for me, I've got two threes. Maguire's 4.3. I need a 4.3.
That's a better solution than, say, Johnny Evans.
Yeah.
I just think you've got more chance of getting something from that. And that's probably the way I'd go.
If Johnny Evans is going to get a 20-pointer in this double game week now. He's had that much airtime.
I hope Johnny Evans gets a hat-trick against Arsenal. Like, seriously. But he's more chance he gets...
He ain't going to do that.
It's more chance he gets an own goal and a red card than actually does anything in the double. Seriously. He's going to be chasing them. You see the tackle on Mateo last night. No, honestly, don't go there. Julio might be one with no ownership. You can just punt into. I would prefer that to Adam Webster's 4.2.
Okay.
I'd go Julio over Webster. Veltman could also play games. And if he plays the position that he played on Sunday at 4.3, could be interesting. But I also think they could go, right, we'll shove it from the other side and... they'll play Webster at right back, and they've done that before as well. Zahir Dad, as I said, they've moved it along with Veltman pushing further up the pitch. Yeah, I would prefer Brighton defensive this week than a few of the teams that have got a double. That's all I'd say about it, but your expectations on it are low. If I had to gamble one of them cheap ones, I'd go Julio, Igor Julio. Dunk will definitely play, and at this stage, the money's irrelevant. If you want one of them and you can get up to them, go Dunk. Plus, he is a definitive threat from set plays. We know that. So Lewis Dunk is not a terrible one to get this week. I would rather get Dunk at 5.2 than Evans at 4.0 if you can afford it.
Okay.
I just know people are going to look at Johnny Evans because he's literally the only Manchester United central defender left at the moment.
Yeah, go elsewhere. What's your thoughts on Villa? Obviously, they're pretty much done for fourth, we know. But Liverpool this week, right?
So
is it worth?
Here's the thing, and this is why Villa fans and Villa fans, I've been telling you for weeks, you'll finish fourth, and you will. But think of it like this, Suj. Here's a scenario now. So Tottenham got Burnley at home on Saturday. Right, Tottenham could beat Burnley, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then the gap is 4 points, two games left to play for both. Is it inconceivable that Liverpool would win at Villa on Monday?
Liverpool, we've got a good chance of winning at Villa.
Of course, right? Yeah. So let's just say, hypothetically, Liverpool won at Villa, right? Then it's 4 points. Let's say Tottenham then do the unthinkable and beat Manchester City.
We're going to get a draw.
All right, but let's say Tottenham did the unthinkable and beat Manchester City.
Go on then.
Then it's 1 point going into the final day.
Yep.
Right, then Villa know they probably have to win at that Palace on the final day. And that's why they're still squeaky a bit.
Yep.
And I get that. But it would have to fall into place that Villa didn't win at all and Tottenham won all three games.
Yeah, the biggest obstacle is going to be your game with City. Like, I don't see you winning that in any way. So,
well, the other thing, the goal difference at the moment is sizable. I think Villa are 11 better, I want to say, Serge.
I'm going to tell you. They've scored 73, conceded 53. So they're plus 20.
Yeah,
and you're
at plus nine. So it's 11 difference.
Oh, you're plus 11.
Oh, we're plus 11. So there's nine difference.
Nine difference.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. In the unlikely world that Tottenham won by five on Saturday and then Villa lost by a couple to Liverpool, and then if it's going into goal difference potentially on the final
Sheffield
day,
United.
Tottenham lost with City. This is what I said. There is a circumstance here where Tottenham could end up going for goals on the final day. I don't think it will come to it. So I'd still probably fancy Villa to get something against Liverpool on Monday night, actually. And in any case, as I've told you, we won't get anything against Man City next Tuesday. But it does mean that there might still be... There is a circumstance where Villa will still have something to play for in 38. And I think those who've got Watkins... I mean, what do you do if you've got Watkins this week and you're bench boosting? If you've got, like, Haaland, Isak, Watkins, do you throw Watkins to Jackson?
I would.
I think you probably do, don't you?
I would. Yeah, yeah. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game with Liverpool.
I also think that's reasonable to bench boost with Ollie Watkins.
He's been one of the most consistent players all season, but I think I would make the move to Jackson.
Yeah, I think, and if you've got anything defensive, it's probably moving on. We think Emi Martinez might be back for the game Thursday night, and so too might Yuri Tielemans as well. And he'll be better off for that, obviously.
Yep. Chelsea 5, West Ham 0.
Woof.
With a massive XG as well. 4.22 is huge.
Despite Jared Bowen hitting the bar three times.
Yeah, we didn't get even to one. 0.88 for West Ham. I mean, this is a slapping. When you think of David Moyes managing in-game, he's always in his technical area, isn't he? He spends the majority of his time in his technical area.
You take way more notice than I would. Yeah. Like, I know Ange just stands in there the whole game.
Yeah. Moyes generally will. Quite often, he didn't this game. He was chilling. He had his feet up, mate. He was just sitting in the dugout. Clearly knew what the announcement... There's no way that he didn't know going into this game the announcement that was coming.
And we spoke about this on Patreon last week, that this would happen. So. And not the result. I mean, the Moyes announcement being confirmed this week.
The amount of noise in the media in the back end of last week as well, I almost feel for him because it's like someone talking about your job whilst you're still in your job all over YouTube, all over the channels. It can't be easy mentally to be like, hang on a second. Like, you're all running stories about my job whilst I'm in my job, even if he knew that he was on his way out. And the players take notice of it too.
It's also out of contract rather than getting sacked.
That's true. Questions have been asked. And I think the players will obviously be aware that this was on the cards. So I don't know if they've downed tools. I don't think they're necessarily downed tools. But in 2024, if you did the table, we'd be bottom three.
Is that right? I know it's bad. You've only won four games this calendar year, which I think includes...
If you did the table, 2024, we'd be bottom three.
Is that right? Can you tell us just out of interest what the bottom of that would look like?
I don't know.
Oh, you're useless.
I just heard the stat of... Where would they make the table from 2024? You're going to find it.
Tell me, Nico, how useless was that? He's brought the stat. Well,
no,
we haven't got the whole stat.
No, you don't want the whole table. I just heard it on the radio yesterday, James, when they were talking about West Ham. That if they did the table from 2024, I'm sure we'd be bottom three.
Okay.
Which is why it's a little bit of a sad ending for Moyes, where he's not been able to leave on a high because recent form has been so bad. I think that's our sixth game losing by 5 goals or more for a defensive team.
Do you know, I'll tell you what the stat I did hear was the amount of goals you conceded in London derbies this year. It was like 6 to Arsenal, 5 to Chelsea, 5 to Fulham, 5 to Palace. And I was thinking, what about me?
None. Not
two,
enough.
Two across
Not enough.
Two
it's games. Been particularly bad. I don't think there's anything to take away from it from a West Ham point of view.
Right, who told you that stat?
I heard it on the radio.
Right, was that on Talkshite as usual?
Possibly not.
Okay.
Five Live.
So there you go.
Is it wrong?
Yeah. So for the calendar year, you'd be 15th.
Oh, wow. Okay. But it must be pretty tight.
Sheffield United, 7 points. Forest, 9 points. Actually, that's not quite true because that includes their points deduction. So Forest technically is 13 points. Luton, 11. Everton, 19. Burnley, 13 points. West Ham, 16.
16. Brighton, 17. So very low.
Big distance from the top three to Newcastle in fourth and Chelsea fifth, for those wondering.
Okay.
My team 10th, for those who give a shit.
Mid-table. We'd be right in a scrap, to be honest with you. So, Chelsea, on the other hand, finally doing bits. You tipped up Madueke as an interesting punt for anyone that wanted to go there, and he's obviously returned well here. Nicholas Jackson's returned well. Cole Palmer is Cole Palmer. I think they found at least the front, you'd say, six. Caicedo alongside Gallagher. Whether or not that'd be the two if Enzo Fernandez was fit. But they found the rhythm there. And the three in behind Jackson.
I think for those chasing, And you know, what can I do different? That guy should be right near the top.
Madueke, yeah?
Yeah. I obviously saw him live last Thursday at Stamford Bridge, and it looks like a player who's really confident. You see his interview after the game as well.
He speaks really well as well.
Mm. You can tell he's a confident lad, but not doesn't come across arrogant. Comes across really nicely, actually. Just down to earth and confident. You can see he has got a little bit of belief in his own ability now that he's got a run. I don't think there was ever a doubt of his ability, but his ability to play for this team, and that he will continue to get picked at the moment. Like Chelsea fans, I think, would probably be pretty flabbergasted if suddenly he just got taken out of the team. Be like, what's the explanation for this? So minutes-wise, you should be okay. I wouldn't be concerned. Oh, Sterling's getting himself fit, or Nkunku's fit. Like, Nkunku's just built to next season now, really. The problem is, from a fantasy perspective, for Madueke, is the chances are so many of you are sitting there with Petrovic, Palmer and Jackson. And there's nothing wrong with that three, and you're not going to change it. Which means, for those, what can I do to chase it? Genuinely, if you're in a position you really want to chase, sell Palmer and buy Madueke. Just chase it. Like, what's the worst that'll happen? You'll lose anyway. But if you need to do something different, I'm not suggesting anyone sells Cole Palmer for Madueke.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, for people in a specific, how do I make up these points? And because I think as well, he's captainable this week, Madueke. I really do.
I wouldn't go that far over Cole Palmer, just because Palmer again has returned in this game as well, and he's just so consistent. I do like it as a punt chase, but
you know, one of the 5-6 best assets for this game week, incredibly low EO, and if you stick the armband on it as well, like, you either shoot for the stars, or you know, you get burnt. Like, you know, the difference between you and I this week, of course it can happen, but it's just such a regular one. What can I do different? Right, well, hitting for people, not necessarily hitting, but by people like Madueke or Richarlison, who are going to have next to no ownership this week. I think he's a really, really interesting one, Madueke, but most people won't be able to go anywhere near it. Petrovic, I think, will stay in goal.
He's safe, yeah. That was going to be my question. I think people have been asking about Sanchez. Yeah. He's safe now.
Well, the thing is as well, is the clean sheets have started coming as well, so that would almost feel weird to change that at this stage. So I think Petrovic is probably okay for the double. I think Cucurella has now got a really important role with this movement inside that we've seen since the second half of the Villa game, which has been quite transformative, right? They were great in the second half at Villa, and they battered Tottenham and West Ham, basically. So I think Cucurella's got a really important role in that team at the moment. That means he probably plays. Thiago Silva, we thought was probably out for the season, but played. It was quite surprising. Disasi owners are in an awkward spot that we don't know really where we stand. And so too the Malagusto owners. Because Gusto, it was like out for Tottenham. Oh, he's back off the bench against West Ham. Like, what happens now? And there's also the elements of Gusto that would concern me is this element of Cucurella moving now into the midfield area. Now, under that basis, you're better off having three centre-backs in the setup. And even more so with Thiago Silva fit, right? Because I told you, I've been protecting him all season. They don't want Silva getting pulled out into right back or left back. So under that circumstance, if Cucurella's going to move into midfield, Thiago Silva needs to be the right-sided centre-back, basically. Which, as a knock-on, means Badia Shield keeps playing as a left-sided centre-back. Then it's probably Chalobah or Disasi, depending on his fitness, as the right-back rather than Gusto.
Yep.
To protect him. Because Gusto's not just going to sit there. Why would you restrict that? Or you do it differently and Cucurella sits in. But I don't think Gusto's not going to move into a central midfield position.
The summary of what you're saying, though, James, is Petrovic and just avoid the defenders. Like, I don't need that stress in my life, man.
I think
I wouldn't go near any of them because any of them could drop out at any given time. I would rather Petrovic as my second keeper on a bench boost and that's it.
I agree with that. But I think based on what I'm saying now, I think Cucurella and Badiashil are both okay for the double.
Okay. Let's talk about Liverpool 4, Tottenham 2, if you're all right to.
No, see you later, kids. Goodbye, everyone.
At least it wasn't as bad as what my team had to put me through.
Gee, I never feel like I've seen this game already a few times this season.
Again, though, as much as 4-2, I think the story is like the fact that you were 4-0 down, and at that point
should have been about 8-0 down.
It was done. It was done. And you've got a couple of goals back there. Even the Richarlison goal, again, a ball into the centre and someone's on the end of it. It was Werner so often, Johnson so often.
It's literally the only goal we scored.
It has been, hasn't it, for quite some time. But ultimately, yeah, Liverpool.
It's still, when it's done right, winners. Though, like Bissouma plays that pass for Johnson.
Yeah.
That's why we score it so often, because that's really difficult to stop. And then Richarlison puts himself into an offside position that people can't get back to him. And then, of course, when it's rolled across, he's obviously onside and people can't get back to him.
3.37 XG for Liverpool. And then, obviously, there was a few other chances as well that won't register, where Salah kind of fluffed it. And
counts as zero because he doesn't shoot, you know that. Yeah. It's like an XG of like 0.95.
It should be well up there. So they've clearly had the majority of the chances and deserve to win.
Yeah, Liverpool fully deserving winners. I think the key facet of the game was Liverpool's ability to obviously win the ball high from us. I think they nine times in the first half. So it was just an absurd number. So you think you're winning the ball in our final third every 5 minutes. That's madness when you think about it. And that's what they did. And it was a strange game, though, because unlike against Chelsea on Thursday, I actually thought we played all right in spells. Like, when we did beat the press, actually what we did in the middle kind of, I don't know if you broke into, okay, the middle third, let's say. What we did in the middle third, actually, even in the first half, I thought was all right.
Well, you had the midfield that you've been calling for often. You've always said Bissouma, Bentancur, Sarr would be a midfield you'd want to play.
No, what I said was that's the midfield I would have played against Arsenal.
Right, okay, fair play.
Specifically.
But then Arsenal, Liverpool, they're both still pretty... intense so teams
when
to
I,
play against
when I saw
your
that,
legs in
when
the
I
midfield.
Saw that you'd pick that team at Liverpool, I completely understood it, right? Mm. But it didn't work. That's good. It's really
Harvey Elliott, Endo, McAllister, Gakpo, Diaz, Salah. The movement. I mean, Gakpo had a great game, didn't he? His movement, link-up play. Considering he doesn't get consistent minutes, I feel like if you gave him and Darwin Nunez the same minutes over a season, I actually think he could possibly outperform Nunez.
Gakpo won't miss the chances that Nunez misses. Have you seen that Nunez?
He's more aligned to Firmino.
Nunez
Gakpo
has taken all his Liverpool pictures off his Instagram profile.
No.
Yeah, apparently.
Has he?
Yeah, someone said on Twitter really horribly, and you shouldn't laugh, but you can't help it. He was just trying to set an alarm.
Oh, man.
So I don't know if there's a potential partner the ways there, maybe. Which
why
is,
would you do that?
It's sad. I really like Darwin Nunez.
Yeah, I think Gakpo is more closely aligned to Firmino, though, and is what they want potentially.
That is definitely true. Mo has somehow ended up on only 13 points from this game because he should have been on... he should have got returned, similar to Haaland's, quite frankly. It takes something to get a goal and two assists and no bonus.
Yeah.
And as said, that chance that he's missed... at the end, he probably finishes. If he scores that, then maybe, I don't know, might have hit top bonus.
And maybe, 20 pointer there.
Maybe then it's the same. It's 21, right? So, yeah, I was strongly saying to people, don't sell your Liverpool assets this week, because I know what I watch. That said, for the defensive guys, it's not worked out, right? Trent, no. 0 pointer. How? Van Dijk, 1 pointer. We actually defended set pieces. Okay, Suj. It was the open play that was the bigger problem. Yeah, when they won the ball higher or when they broke through lines, they just made chances against us at will. And yeah, at 4-0, it looked like it was going to go sevens or eights, which I'm then pleased with what I saw in the last half hour, because the one thing I couldn't label my team was, and you know, if you look at United last, I think if you look at my team and then you look at United last night, I think you can see a clear difference. There are failings in Tottenham's play, but I don't think you can look at Tottenham and say not trying. Like, I don't look at them and think, you're not putting the effort in. So I've been massively critical of Son recently, right? And I thought he was pretty wank again in the first hour. But most of them were. But that, bless you again, Son.
Oh, hay fever.
Hay fever season.
Yeah, the sun's come out.
As opposed to yesterday, it just pissed down all day. Crawley postponed. Playoffs postponed. Son, in the last half hour, is the best he's played for Tottenham in months.
Wow.
It was good.
Not just running the channels. Was that anything to do with Richie being on the pitch?
I think massively. So, but what was really different, and remember as well, I'm behind the goal, kind of just inside the penalty area. So in that last half hour of the game, where I've got Son running at me.
Okay.
Right? And he's doing nothing to piss me off. I can see at ground level, basically, the work he's putting in. And the big thing that I was really impressed with him was that he went at his man. So you could tell that he's... When you see players, so he's hitting the byline, he's getting across, and you can see he's knackered, and he's working hard to get back into position. But he kept trying to go at them. And I've said to you so many times, he plays on the left, he can't take a man on anymore. And sometimes it worked, and sometimes it didn't. But he was trying. He
if there's trying. Ever a left back you want to run at, though, Trent's possibly. Right back, yeah. Oh, right back, sorry, but you know what I mean, in that left wing position.
And you would, but
it would be Trent is the one that you'd want to target.
When Johnson had opportunities like that in the first half,
he didn't take him.
Didn't take him. And Son was really willing to get involved. Richarlison coming on clearly changed the game.
People are going to want that as a punt, James.
Yeah, and I get that.
If you had the choice, Madueke or Richarlison, for example.
Those who've got two Tottenham.
I'm on two Tottenham.
If Fernandes is ruled out, I think you're going to buy Richarlison.
I've also only got two Chelsea over Madueke.
Richarlison almost definitely starts up front against Burnley.
Okay.
So that's probably enough, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And would you be bold enough for people chasing to say stick the armband on Richie, or do you think that's too far?
I think even if you look at Ange's comments, Ange said that he didn't start on Sunday because there was no way he was going to start Thursday and Sunday. So there's still clearly...
recovery.
I was going to say a fitness problem would be unfair. Yeah, you're quite right. He's still recovering and building his fitness back up.
Yep.
Could he start against Burnley on the Saturday and Manchester City on the Wednesday? Yes, definitely. Spacing's better. And also there is obviously the potential in the Burnley game that it might become easier. It's also worth noting, he might come off after an hour against Burnley, right? And he might have blanked at that stage.
Yep.
And considering how many goals we score late in games, you might be unlucky and miss out. But I think, yeah, if Fernandes was to be ruled out for United at the weekend, I think Richarlison would be the popular move for a lot of people. If they've just... There's got to be people who've just gone like Porro and Son or Vicario and Son, sitting there waiting for the third Tottenham. I think then, yeah, Richarlison would be more... rather more than Madueke. I just know more people have got free Chelsea already.
Yep.
So I think Richarlison will be popular. Yes, he'll probably play. What he just changed massively was it opened up the possibility for us to go direct, and it pissed me off all game, Serge, that we didn't. So I don't know why this is, and I don't know if it's Richarlison pulling people into deeper areas or I'm not sure, but suddenly we hit, after Richarlison came on, Porro and Bissouma started playing diagonal balls over longer distance. So like, rather than, okay, I'm going to play it into left and then we're going to build and we're going to carry down that side, just dissecting, going ping, right, Son, one-on-one. Richarlison over the top, one-on-one. And the first hour, we never did it.
Right.
And that annoyed me because put it over Liverpool.
Yeah. You might get some
success. You can still play good football and go direct occasionally, right? I mean, that said, there's idiots behind me on the Anfield Road end. You know, Tottenham got caught out. I get it, like playing out from the back. People, oh, knock it long. Yeah, but there's a time and a place. There's no point knocking it up for Son when he's got fucking Van Dijk standing behind him, right? You know what's coming.
And
then when you get yourself a little bit of possession, can you pull wider and right, get Johnson one-on-one with Trent in the first half? And like I said, when it did come, it was playing through them, and then Johnson didn't really take the opportunities. So, yeah, mixed emotions because you're fearing another humiliation. But all through the game, even when they were getting battered, I'm not looking at them going, you're not trying. There's flaws in what's happening at the moment, and Ange is partly responsible for that. But I'm absolutely sure that Ange will get it right in the longer term. I can see principles of things that I still like about this team. The best three Tottenham for the double will be Son, Richarlison, and by default, Porro, because you don't want a lot of defensive from others, and there is still the possibility of something offensive there. And the one goal we did score this season was against Burnley in the FA Cup. So, but if you were free hitting this week now, I think Richarlison would go in, I think.
Yeah. What about Erik ten Hag? Is he going to get it right? I mean, there's talk that he's still going to stay. I know Man United fans will be fuming with the result from yesterday, but when you're looking at your back two of Casemiro and Johnny Evans, you're looking at Wan-Bissaka as left back instead of right back, which is his regular position. Eriksen, I mean, he's been a great footballer, but his best days are behind us. Anthony, like, I don't think I'd want any of them playing in my team. Would you want any of them in your team in those positions?
Manchester United are one of the few teams that if my team played at the moment would absolutely destroy.
You would?
Yeah, we'd smash them to pieces.
I just look at it. Was, like,
if we played them tomorrow, we'd smash them to pieces.
I don't know who from that team. Like Kobe Mino, yeah, for sure. Dallow's pretty decent as well. Garnacho's got potential. Hoyland. Mount and played all season. I look at that team and I'm like, are you surprised looking at that team that they've just been beaten by Palace? I didn't expect it to be that big a victory.
Okay.
But Elise, Eze, Mateta, they probably all get into that Man United team.
Would a team that played last night, that I don't want to be that I told you so, but you and I have sat here. How many times last week did we go, Palace would destroy them last week?
I don't know if we were destroyed.
Literally no
We said
surprise.
They would win.
Yeah, no surprise.
But I don't know if we were destroyed. 4-0 I'm surprised by. I thought 2-0 or something like that. More.
But doesn't that even speak volumes anyway? You're like, oh, I think Palace would beat United by a couple.
Yeah, it does.
And then look, obviously, the situation got worse for United over the weekend to lose Maguire, whatever you think of him, and obviously Fernandes. And yes, you have to put the mitigating in there that... To not have of the availability of Martinez, Varane, Maguire, and Lindelof.
Yep.
Let's be fair here. Any team that was missing their four centre backs is going to have a big problem.
Yep.
A massive problem. A lot of clubs don't even have four centre backs, right? So there definitely is a mitigating under that circumstance. That said, he's still not mitigating to get done like that. Because they never looked like scoring in the game. And they got beat 4-0 and they could have easily got beat by more. Embarrassing. That's the, you know, it's not, oh, Tottenham this or Tottenham. I'm just telling you, I can see things in Tottenham where I say, okay, that's not working, but I see this is and this is. United, I just don't see anything. Don't see anything that works with that team. That team that played last night, if it had to play every week, would be in a battle for relegation.
Do you think that it's a player problem or a manager problem?
Both.
Because I think for my club, for example, it's definitely a manager problem now. Because I still think the players there could, if they had the right coaching and the right tactical instructions, could do something. Here, I'm not sure. Because I feel like it's a player problem more than a manager. If I had to pick one or the other, I'd almost say a player problem more than a manager problem.
Because it's happened with too many managers now to just be the managerial problem. And that's why there will be a case that you have to credit United fans for this, or you could say maybe you should open your eyes a bit more depending on how you feel about it. But all them managers who've gone, whether it's Solskjaer, Mourinho, Van Gaal, Moyes, who someone else I'm missing in there maybe, to my understanding, United fans in the stadium have never called for any of these people to go. And to my understanding, have not called for Ten Hag to go either. So they've actually been very supportive of the process. There's probably a long influence on Sir Alex Ferguson,
yep,
etc. on that. But they've stayed with, and I certainly understand the element of Manchester United support that will say changing the manager doesn't just solve things. No, I agree that there needs to be an overhaul. But you've also got people who are coming in and changing the football operations. That's quite clear. And it's pretty clear to me that they'll want their own manager as well. These noises about Ten Hag, there's every chance he'll stay on next season. For me, it's just let's get through the FA Cup final and look like we're in full support. And then afterwards, there'll be a change. I'm pretty confident of that. You know, stuff this week like Ten Hag getting linked with a Bayern Munich job. Whether that's Ten Hag's agents or whether that's even Manchester United putting that news out there themselves, someone's doing it for the benefit of Manchester United moving forward in a different direction. And he, as a coach, moving forward in a different direction. He does have links to Bayern Munich, by the way. I think he was under 21 manager there or B team manager there before. So it's not as strange as it might sound. There's a line here. As I said, that 11 they put on the pitch last night genuinely would fight relegation. Genuinely. But also being completely unacceptable.
Decimated, yeah. Decimated with injuries, but lack of effort.
I have a Nana going into this week. Don't like it, but probably won't move it. Because the thing is with him, the one thing I do like about him is he makes saves.
Yep.
He has to. And I'm like, oh, he doesn't make saves. No, he has to. He made six last night, despite losing 4-0. And Palace hit the woodwork as well. Jesus. The defenders, I wouldn't go near, but if you had to, go for Dalot, because there is a small potential for offensive stuff there. Up front, if you're sitting there with Hoyland, I think even that one you're looking at thinking, can I move that to Jackson?
I've got three. James, you're making me feel sad. I've got Maguire injured.
Let me ask you, they've got two
Fernandez possibly
two home
injured
games this week against Arsenal and Newcastle. Right, how many points do you think they'll get?
One.
Right, well, I think it'll be none.
I also think it'll be none, but I wanted to not be so harsh and maybe say they could get a draw out of Newcastle, but based on what Newcastle are doing, yeah, I actually think none.
Gordon, Wilson, Isak with the likes of Bruno Guimaraes behind that. If that's the United team next Wednesday, they'll get mullered.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Now, it might be, we think Martinez, sure, close. Now, I think Lisandro Martinez has been the biggest miss of all for Manchester United this year. The reason he's the biggest miss of all is because he's the only one in the back line who's good in terms of his distribution. Certainly his central areas. Luke Shaw's not bad either. But that's why they play through Onana so much, because Onana's their best passer of their defensive players when Martinez doesn't play. So he's the one that they've been really, really unlucky to be without this year more than anybody else. But I know, imagine if Fernandez is out. We don't really know where we're at here with him. But the one thing, whatever your criticisms of Fernandez is, you can't label anything about him in terms of his effort. I've said before, I think he goes into business
it's
for himself
misguided
sometimes
but,
but he's always trying.
He's working enough.
He's a leader for that team. And God, did they miss him last night. Because that team without him, and fair game to him, he always plays, doesn't he? That's what makes you worried, always they're a big problem. That team without him last night just had no character or personality at all. Even if you don't like his personality, he brings something to that table for them. Just looks, you'd be so scared if that was the team they had to play every week, mate.
With Palace, obviously now two games to go. Wolves away is a decent fixture coming up. If I told you they're gonna play Liverpool, West Ham, Newcastle, United, and win four of the last five,
how many clean sheets out of that? Three as well.
Liverpool clean sheet, Newcastle clean sheet, Manchester United clean sheet. Which is about a Newcastle team that we're saying going to muller this Man United team.
A Palace defensive solution isn't terrible this week either. The manager has gotten properly organised. That's the
Munoz, you'd say, is obviously the standout.
I think
from an attacking point of view.
Mitchell,
and Richards is the cheap option.
Tariq Mitchell's getting himself in and around it now. Mark Gay, I think, obviously came on a sub last night. I think will probably come back in the team. I think it will be for Klein. That's the only thing that makes me a little nervous about Richards. But he came on for Klein last night. So I think that's what it will probably be. Manchild's turned up with a camera and started taking pictures. It's not putting me off in any way at all. You all right, Manchild?
Love you.
Yeah, love you too, mate. So defensive ones, Anderson, if you want to go safe, Munoz, Anderson, Mitchell, you'll be fine. Dean Henderson will obviously play in goal if you have a goalkeeper problem. And if you want to go with Eze, Elise or Mateta moving forward, it's absolutely fine. The two in midfield, Wharton, it's best to see Will Hughes playing a really long time last night as well. Really good. We've spoken about Wharton quite a bit. I'm not going to do that again. But I think if you are going into this week with Palace players, then chances are you've got bigger problems than that.
Yep.
And I think they're
perfectly fine for
people,
this Wolves
people
game.
Aren't yep. realistically probably aren't going to go and buy, but if you've got
hold,
it's not necessarily hold.
You don't need to sell,
but you don't need
force
to sell
it. Definitely not for hits anyway.
I wouldn't be surprised if they do quite well against Villa final day as well, on the expectation that I think Villa will have fourth done by that point.
Yeah, agreed. Cool. That's a wrap of all of the games, James, that we've had. Busy week ahead of content.
Must congratulate them, by the way, because as much as that's obviously United being shit last night, they're really good. That's the number one reason why I thought they'd do well against them. So I spoke about it last Monday. The structure, manager having way better organised than the opponent. Way better organised. Good manager, good team. I hope for them that Eze and Aliso stay.
Yeah.
If Eze and Aliso stay and they keep them fit, they finish top half of that next year.
Yeah, we'll be definitely having talks about whether or not they're going to be good assets, depending on what price they're coming for next season. 100%. I don't see them coming in crazily more than this year either. I think they'll still be affordable.
Mateta will obviously get a jump.
Yeah, but six and a half. I still don't think he'll hit sevens and eights.
Enough to be off-putting, probably.
Hopefully not.
They're down to fixtures, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, of course. Cool. So tell us, James, what content have we got this week for people to look forward to as we...
Sky Fantasy tomorrow. Two clash of correspondents this week. So Thursday, Manchester United versus Newcastle United, with Gary Robinson and Simon Bibby. So we'll get the fan view on the two Uniteds heading into the double. I can pretty much tell you what Gary's going to say already, I think, in terms of which Manchester United assets. You'll probably get more positivity from Si, I should imagine. And also West Ham versus Luton on Friday with Chris Stone and Dan Ashby. We'll obviously give David Moyes his big send-off. We'll get Dan's opinion on what's happening at the bottom of the league. And we'll maybe talk about buying one single game week player. We'll probably go off maddest this week that absolutely no one will buy. And that's probably Jared Bowen. So, if you want to support the show, it's www.patreon.com/planetfpo. Our podcasts this week include a Q&A today. Tomorrow, more on Tottenham and West Ham. Thursday I'm doing an Ask James stream, and we'll do our Game Week 37 preview podcast on Friday.
Lovely jubbly. As James said, as we get close to the end of the season, why not think about coming in, having a look at what we offer on Patreon with the additional content. The Slack channels stay open through the whole summer as well, so while you're tinkering and looking for something to do, it's a great place to come and interact with other managers.
Should
as well
include Leicester and Ipswich channels.
Indeed. We've got some questions, James, on X. Quite a few that we've talked about. A few interesting.
This is normally
punts.
The way, boss.
Yeah, I mean, it's like names that are getting mentioned and names that we've talked about, because a lot of people that are bench boosting are all have all the same injury problems, and so it's the same players that they're looking to move on. For example, Richarlison gets quite a few mentions in place for Bruno, for example.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good shout. We've endorsed that as something that people could do.
All I would say is just remember back to what we said about Bruno, and I think why many of us went with him on the wild card was he's in great form and ideal for a double game week. Like, if he's fit, you'll get 180. I mean, last night, even when it was going round in the early afternoon, he's not travelled, I was like, I believe it when I see it, you know, because he always, credit to him, he always plays. And we haven't got an update as yet of what the issue is, but it's Manchester United, so that update will come. There's no doubt about it. If he's out, yeah, Fernandes to Richarlison will be super popular. But if Fernandes is fit, I don't think I'd make that move. I'd just leave it with Bruno. As shit as they are that way, he can still do stuff going the other way.
Agreed.
Let's not pretend that Newcastle are going to have a great defensive lineup at Manchester United next week. They won't.
Trot and FPL Crisis, both asking about triple captains, and also with discounting Haaland from this conversation, because he's quite clearly a standout, but both asking about alternatives if chasing. Cole Palmer on historic because of the amount of points he's hauled, but that's almost a safe option as well. I feel like people want to be rogue, James.
I feel...
Isak?
Yeah.
Isak would be great.
Yeah.
If I had it, I'd go Isak.
At the moment, I have the team bus with Isak Vice, and I've got the template front eight that many wild card and 35 have. So yeah, I've got Haaland captain, Isak Vice. I'm in a position where I'm clinging, right? So I don't want to go against. Also, you could always use the Andy Mears Let's Talk FPL way of dealing with captaincy, and it's just put it on the guy you think will get the most points. You could always do that. I think if you're chasing, though, depends, right? I mean, what level of chasing? If Isak is obviously going to be really well owned, and his EO, I think, will probably be over 100 this week, Haaland's going to push towards 200 or so, because there will be a group of people still going triple captain on him, I suppose, this week. I think in terms of the absolute rogue out there, I really like Madueke. If you want to do it and go proper Hail Mary with some serious Tabasco sauce, that's the one. You know, when we go on FPL Juice tonight and they ask about Madueke, yeah, it's going to be spicy ting, hella hot, all that.
So that's a good plug, James. I was going to say, do you know what? One thing we haven't done, and we probably should have done at the start of the show, was a plug that we are going on FPL Juice today.
6 o'clock.
Today being the Tuesday the 7th. So if you're listening to this after 6 p.m. UK time, they still obviously have the video on their YouTube channel to watch on recap. So yeah, it should be good fun. We always have a laugh when we go down there for a couple of hours. Yeah, and I'm going to be going in a grumpy mood because of the rubbish weekend that West Ham have had,
sorry,
and
boss.
David Moyes. So yeah, it makes it more fun, James. It makes it more fun.
Turn up grumpy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to turn up in a good mood.
We'll have some fun, whatever we do. So make sure you head over to youtube.com/, I think this FPL Juice is their channel. You'll be able to find it and tune into that. Right, James, that's a wrap.
No, okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that's the questions for today's episode. Unanswered questions for the advanced tiers on Patreon. No, not today.
No, I'll probably do them all as 5 minutes added on this week.
5 minutes added on, there we go. Yeah, that's a wrap. Stay safe. Look after yourselves. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Be nice to each other. Play it your way. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.